So someday, maybe this summer, I'm hoping to pack up the motorcycle, all the camping gear, everything I need for at least one night, drive out to the highway, and either pray, Lord, left or right, or start praying and flipping a coin and seeing where I end up. Whether it's Kyle or whether it's, you know, who knows, PA. But I think that would be fun. Anyway, I say that because I know the starting point of the sermon today. I'm not quite sure where the Lord's going to lead us. And it's interesting because it feels like probably the last 5 or 6 or 7 times I've spoken, I feel led a little bit more and more to use less and less notes. I think Mike probably knows what that's like. And I have peace with it. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to pray. But I ask you to pray with me this morning. Pray that the Lord would lead us where we're going to go in this. So Father, we ask you to guide my words. And I pray, Father, that what is said would be from you. What isn't said wouldn't take root in people. What isn't from you wouldn't take root in people's lives, and what is from you would take root. Thank you, Father, for your love. You are amazing. And we are grateful, and we love you, and we bless you today. Amen. So I have been, I don't know if the right word is roosting in, settling in many times in the last couple of weeks in Psalm 131, maybe even longer than a couple of weeks. I just seem to keep coming back to Psalm 131, and we'll read it through, and then we'll kind of walk through it a bit. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. You'd think I wouldn't have to keep coming back to that so often. It's just such a short little psalm. But what a beautiful psalm that is. I was sitting and thinking when we were praying about the differences between the even ifs and the if onlys in our lives. The if onlys are the if only it would rain, if only I felt better, if only I had more energy, if only this and this was the way it was in our family, if only. Right? If only this trouble didn't come into my life. If only I had done this or that. If only I hadn't done this or that. And it's an indicator of where we put our hope. My hope is then in me or in my circumstances. But the even ifs are the even if, and there's a song, even if the healing doesn't come, I'll praise you. Even if life is a mess, I'll praise you. Even if it's chaotic, I'll still look to you. And it's interesting to think about the differences between the even ifs and the if onlys. Verse 1 says, my heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. It says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You'd think we'd clue in. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about whether I'm good or bad or successful or a failure. It's about who God is and our humbling ourselves before him. What a crazy, difficult thing to do. And then as we grow, it gets worse. Have you ever thought about that? You go to Bible school, And you learn all these big words and all these grand theologies, and you, wow, this stuff is great. And then you look at other people and you go, boy, they just don't get it. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that went through that. It's easy for us when we think differently. And we think we have the inside track because we've read something or God's teaching us something and we know what's going on now. And it's easy to look at others and go, why don't they get it? And God says, humble yourself. So the psalmist comes and he says, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I'm not exalted looking down on people. I'm humbled before you. Do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. There's some interesting things about this. I do not concern myself. The term could be used to walk among. I do not walk among things too wonderful for me, too great. And actually, the term wonderful is interesting because it doesn't necessarily mean wonderful as in great, but wonderful as in matters that are above us or beyond us. Do not walk among things that are beyond me. How many of us walk among things in our heads and in our hearts that are beyond us? Look at our government. Man, if only we had, there's our if onlys, right? If only we had a better government. If only, whatever. And we walk among these things in our hearts and in our minds that they dominate our thoughts because we worry about them. Maybe you guys don't worry. I don't know. But, man, it's easy for me to dwell among those things. I'm getting better. I think I'm getting better. Last night after I sat down, I was like, okay, did I do that well? Because I made a bit of a joke with it, hey? And I sat down and I thought, and I just paused for a minute. I said, Lord, and he said, that was fine. You sought to obey me. Be at peace. My name was exalted. Be at peace. Wasn't concerning myself with all those things that were beyond me. Other people's opinions. The results. But I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I've done some pondering on that, and I meant to ask Wendy about it, and I kind of forgot this morning. Moms, you could probably recall. I just remember when Wendy would nurse, it didn't matter what was wrong with a nursing child. They wanted one thing. They didn't know what was, I'm pretty sure, they didn't know if they were hungry, if they were sad. I don't know if babies get sad. I imagine I saw some, you know. If they were sad, if they were full sometimes, or if their stomach hurt, or if they wanted to nurse. And I feel like that's maybe us some days. Doesn't matter what it is. We want to be comforted somehow. We want something to make us feel better. And the psalmist here, David says, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Weaned child with its mother. And once they were weaned, didn't matter what was wrong. It was generally, not 100% of the time, but it's usually mom that they wanted. And I will say my wife is a great example of, okay, I've actually called her, the baby whisperer. Because it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, there was occasions with our kids where it didn't work 100%. But a great picture of a stilled and quieted soul with like a child with their mother. I have to say, I don't think God keeps us sitting in one passage for a long time because we already understand it. And I have been here for a while because I need to understand it. I've said it before, I don't rest easily. The word that comes to mind, and I don't know if it's, maybe some people out here know German. I know if it's a real German word or if it's just a word that my family used. They called it Schwitzing. Is that familiar to anybody? Okay, so it's Schwitzing. Well, that's not how I ever took it.
Okay.
Schwitzing is to just worry. You can't sit still because you're agitated about something. And you're trying to figure out every little detail on everything. You're just... And I can do that. And God keeps coming back to me and saying, Wes, still and quiet yourself. There is things that God does as his part, and there's things that he calls us to do as our part. And Ali actually said it in Sunday school this morning, and I took note, that we just want him to make us obey. Right? So hard to do what he wants us to do. Why doesn't he just help us do what we should be doing? There's a his part and there's an our part. Our part is to still and quiet ourselves. His part is to give the comfort. Philippians 4, very familiar verses. Do not be anxious about anything. That's our part. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, that's our part. Present your requests to God. That's our part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's his part. We need to stop expecting God to do our part. And we need to quit trying to do his part. Because it's all backwards. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Don't we want to do the work? We want to race around. And granted, things get done. People get fed, buildings get built, everything happens then. But we want to race around, and somehow we want to produce the fruit from the work of our hands. And Jesus says, remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. Rest in me. Remain in me. Quiet yourself in me. Trust me to do what needs to be done. Our job is to remain. His job is to produce. Oh, I lost my original psalm. There we go. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. First Peter, there's a lot of theology. There's a whole series of theology that can be done on when it says Israel, when does that apply to the church and when doesn't it? And spiritual Israel compared to physical Israel, all that. But I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. Because Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. That's us. That's us. It was Israel then, and it's us. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. Let's set aside the if-onlys and dig in on the even-ifs. Even if life gets chaotic, I will quiet and rest my soul in the Lord. Even if ideas are spinning in my head and I'm not sure where the sermon's going to go to by the end, I will rest in the Lord because he is good. And he is sovereign and he is loving. Let's cling to the even ifs. Even if I don't know what to do or what the future holds, his love, his power is sufficient for us. I was going to say amen. Thank you. That seemed right. Lots of this for me has stemmed out of Matthew chapter 11. And I actually quoted this last night, just a part of it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And we have this invitation that sits before us continually. Continually sits before us. Come to me. And it is so very connected to the humbling, because when it's about us, I can do it. I had a phrase, as many kids did when they were small. I can do it myself. And Jesus says, you don't have to, but you have to let me. So that's our invitation today. Come to him, you who are weary and burdened. He gives us rest. He is gentle and humble. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Let me tell you a secret. If your yoke is heavy and your burden is heavy, that's not him. Feel like we have to pause on that one for a second. He invites us to a light burden and an easy yoke. Because it's so short, I'm going to finish just by reading Psalm 131 again. My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen. So, Father, we are so grateful for you. I honestly do not know where I would be without you. And Jesus, I'm so grateful, so very grateful for the peace, the joy, the hope, and the love that is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen.